Tim and Shola for leaders in worship. I'm going to start off with a story. Who likes stories?
Yes.
Great. Yeah. One of the stories that I think we hear too little of, we want to hear more, is the story of how people become Christians. So I'm going to invite right now Suzette to come up and share her story of how she became a Christian. So the microphone's there. It has been disinfected. Please. Yeah, give us a welcome.
A little bit. So, is that okay? Lovely. So, when Tim asked me to sort of give a testimony, I thought, oh, easy job, 5 minutes, yeah, I can quickly share how I came to walk closer to God and invite Jesus back into my life. But actually, when I started writing it all down, after 2 pages, I realized that God does quite a lot in 5 years, so I'm going to really try and trim this down just to share with you sort of briefly how God has really changed my life in the last 5 years of inviting him back in. And just to give you a bit of brief history for those of you that don't know me, I was raised in South Africa, went to Sunday school, Christian family, rebellious teenager, doesn't want to be confirmed in church, and listened to heavy metal, came to the UK, did my own thing. My sister moved to Switzerland, I was in the UK, didn't go to a church or anything, still believed God exists, but never really, you know, followed God or served God. And it wasn't until about 5 years ago when my brother-in-law sadly passed away. He got meningitis and he was in a coma for about 3 months. And it was in that time that it just pulls you down on your knees and you just have to realize there's something bigger than just this life that you sort of go day in and day out. And it was in that period that I started reading the Bible, started praying, and just really inviting God back in my life and really having peace in that period of, even though my brother-in-law passed away and 3 months later, it was just, we were just filled with so much peace and so much hope. And it's not natural to go through bereavement and thinking you are filled with a different sense of joy. And after joining CLC, the family, I did the Alpha course, and I got baptized as well in, oh gosh, about 4 years. I can remember 2017, and in that period, God has just constantly been growing and chopping away at bits and revealing bits to me, you know, like relationships where I had broken relationships, having to approach people, forgive people that I felt hurt, and he kept on pointing out things. I would literally be sitting in church, and someone would say, how's that in that person? And it would make you realize, oh, I've not asked for forgiveness, I've not sorted out the relationship, and he set me free from the stronghold of the heavy metal music. There's just so much healing that happened in that period. And I just thought, you know, I've lost a brother, a brother-in-law, but God has blessed me with a loving husband. You all know Phil, kind, gentle. He's blessed me with such a big family, not just the CLC family, but my in-laws. We were talking about this yesterday. We managed to see them for the first time, I managed to see them for the first time in 10 months. And I've got a God-loving family. All my father-in-law, mother-in-law, all the full siblings and all the grandchildren, they all love God, and it's just such, they've all got a passion for God and just share what the goodness that God does in their lives all the time. And I just feel so blessed how, even though at that point when we were praying for one person's healing to happen, God just had such a big plan in terms of healing. And if I just look at the relational healing and how many people has come closer to God in this period, I just can't help but praise him and just have to share that with everyone. So I know it's ongoing progress. I was joking this morning and I said to Phil, would you quickly listen to what I have to say? And sort of saying about all the things, you know, taming your tongue and being patient and making time, because I never make enough time for really God and my relationships and things like that. And I just, but I know it's a process. So really, I just wanted to share with all of you that I think when you come to Christ, you just expect it to happen overnight, but it's not, isn't it? But sitting back, actually writing down and looking back at just a five-year history of what God has done, I just really want to make use of this opportunity to praise him and to thank him for this family that he's given me. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzette, for that. That was great. As I was saying to the people here, that was 4 minutes, 5 years summarized in 4 minutes, but lots of details and really exciting. I want to also start with a story. This is a story in the Bible. It's in John, Gospel of John, chapter 4. I'm going to tell it mainly in my own words, and the bits that I want to really focus on, I'm going to read from the Bible. So in this story, Jesus is on a road trip with his disciples, and they're traveling to a certain place, and on the way, they go through an area called Samaria. It's a region north of Judea, and the people of that area, the Samaritans, they were descendants of Jews who had married with other nations. And so they were kind of looked down upon by the Jews as not being pure. And their religion was mainly Judaism, mainly the Jewish religion, but mixed with other practices. So it's a kind of, they were also looked down on as their religion was not pure. But they stop on this journey, they stop off in this town in the region of Samaria. And all the disciples attend to what's really important. They go and get food. So while they're buying their lunch, Jesus sits down on his own at a well, which is some distance just outside the town. And a Samaritan woman comes to get water from the well, and Jesus engages her in conversation. She's quite surprised because usually Jews, which Jesus was, they don't talk or associate with Samaritans. And they start, he asks for a drink, they start talking about water, he starts talking about living water, which is a, like a spiritual thing. And then suddenly he kind of, the conversation changes because he says these words. He told her, so verse 16, he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Suddenly, Jesus has a revelation of this woman's life, that she's had five husbands. So she's taken aback by this man who suddenly knows about her. And she says, her answer is, "I see that you're a prophet." We're not there yet on that slide. "I see you're a prophet." She sees that God has revealed something to this man. And so she engages in more talk about religion, about the Messiah. And then while they're in this conversation, the disciples come back with their lunch. And she leaves. So in verse 28, it says, "Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him." And then later in the same story, it says, "Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. 'He told me everything I've ever done.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Then they said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" This woman had a meeting with Jesus, and she told her story to the whole town. And what I want to talk about today is sharing your testimony. When these people heard the words of Jesus, they believed and were changed. The words of Jesus, the gospel, still transforms today. It changes lives. And in this series, next week, Jason is going to talk about how to share the gospel. I want to share with you actually something that you already know how to do, that you already are the best person in the world to do it. That is to tell your story. You are the best person to tell your story. So we're in a series called Built to Last, where we want to build into our lives, into your lives, strength, foundation, so that we stand firm on God in these days. And it's actually four series. This fourth series, well, the first series was the foundation, which is understanding that God loves us. in this fourth series, which we call in A House for All Nations, is that the house that God is building is for everybody, for every nation, for every tribe, for all people everywhere, including Hereford. And this is about loving the world. It's about loving, about missions. So I'm talking about giving your testimony. This woman, this Samaritan woman, played a key part in the first ever Christian revival. These people, these Samaritans in this town, were the first people ever described as believers. It says they believed in Jesus. Another word, another name for a believer in Jesus is Christian. And they were the first ever. And her part was just to tell the people of town about her experience with Jesus. And the summary of it was, here's a man who told me everything I ever did. Her understanding of God, her doctrine, was pretty wonky. It wasn't good. She was untrained. Her part was just to tell what she had experienced. And she said, out of the words, could this be the Messiah? And there's something about what she said. I mean, it's a pretty random sentence. He told me everything I'd ever did. It wasn't true. She told him a key thing about her life, that she'd had five husbands. But something about the reality of what she'd said gripped them. And they came out to see this man. They came to see Jesus. And the great thing about this woman's testimony is, she didn't argue with the guy. She didn't try to convince anybody. She said, could this be the Messiah? She didn't try to argue that it was. She wasn't telling them doctrine. She just told her story. And in fact, that's what Jesus told us to do. It says, some of Jesus' last words to his disciples are this in Acts 1. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That word there, highlighting, is witnesses. Now, witness is like a legal term. I don't know if you've ever been to court. I haven't, but I've seen lots on telly. So in a courtroom, they call witnesses. And the job of a witness is to give testimony. And that's become kind of Christian jargon, witness and testimony. But we can understand from a court what a witness has to do. He just has to say what he saw and what he heard, and nothing more. It's not his job to speculate or judge. You know, so if a witness had seen, there'd been a crime and he'd seen the person that was accused walking down the street in the same clothes and hat as on the crime scene, he could say, yeah, I saw this person dressed like this in that place at that time. If they had, he looked a bit shifty and he looked like he was very angry and the kind of person who would rob or murder, then from my understanding of telly, there would be somebody saying, objection, the witness is speculating. It's not the witness's job to speculate. It's just to say what they've experienced, what they've seen and heard. And that is what God calls us to do, to be witnesses. And the Holy Spirit gives us power for that. That verse I just read said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and you will be my witnesses. That's in this phrase, he's not asking us to be great at doctrine and great at preaching the gospel, although that's a good thing, and Jason will be helping us with that next week. He just asked us to say what we've experienced. And so it was great that Suzette was able to just to say what she experienced. There's another story in Mark 5. You might have read this one. In this story, Jesus, he goes in a boat across a lake and comes to a region that's not Jewish either. It's you can tell it's not Jewish because he met these people that were herding pigs. And there's a guy there who's a real crazy guy. He's filled with many demons and he's chained up for his own safety, but he breaks the chains and he cuts himself and he lives among the tombs. And Jesus heals him in an instant. He delivers him from the demons. And this guy, who was a crazy guy, he's found in his right mind. And Jesus had sent the demons into a herd of pigs, and the pigs had jumped into the sea and drowned. And it says in verse 17 of Mark 5, then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Jesus didn't put this man on a theology course or a training course how to preach the gospel. He just said, go and tell how good God has been to you in your own town. He actually did more than that, because the Decapolis was a region, a number of towns, and he told everybody. And that's what we're told. That's what Suzette shared. It wasn't about doctrine. It's about how good God has been to her. And that is a really powerful story. Many of you have read that story about the demon-possessed man. There's a bit more to that story, because sometime later, Jesus went back to that region, Decapolis, and it says when he came, the crowds gathered round him. And that is where he fed at least 4,000 people. So the crowds were flocking to him to hear him. So something that had radically changed from them saying, please leave this region, as they had, went again and they flocked to him. Now, I don't know why that had changed, but one factor was there was a bloke going round saying, this guy Jesus healed me. I was a crazy guy, tormented by demons, and Jesus healed me. And so when he went back there again, they heard Jesus. They were ready to hear Jesus for themselves. It's not our testimony that saves people. It's the word of God. It's the power of Jesus. But our testimony, our story, can point people to Jesus. So each of you here or online, you have a story. Lost in my notes here. Okay. So if you're a Christian, you have a story with God. God has been part of your story. And your story is powerful. And it needs to be told. Yep. And the story is, the Bible is mainly a book of stories. I've been reading recently about the story of Joshua. And in the story of Joshua, God did many things. He parted the Jordan River so that they could walk across it. And he told them after that, he said, make a pile of stones there on that side of the river. And when people see this pile of stones and they say, what are these pile of stones? Tell the story of how God parted the river. And so the Bible is a book of stories, and God tells us, tell the story of what God has done. Now, some of the stories you might hear of people getting saved, of becoming Christians, are quite spectacular. People that were into drugs and crime, and they saw many miracles. And you might think my story is a bit tame, or it might be that story. Your story might be, well, I was brought up in a Christian home, and I somehow came to believe God for myself. Well, both those kind of stories are powerful to different people. My wife, Adriana, she one day took her mum to the church in Brazil, where she got saved. And quite a few of the leaders there have quite spectacular stories, where they used to use drugs, they used to be into all sorts of things, and God changed them miraculously and they got saved. And her mum thought, yeah, that's nice. They really needed to get saved. And it's not that she was resisting God. It was that their story was not relevant to her. It wasn't her experience. And so a story of being good and growing up in church and following God and then finding God for yourself is powerful to some people. And so your story needs to be told. Yeah? And so I'd love us to have more stories. And some of you may think, well, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about God's. Do you know, one of the greatest preachers in the New Testament was Paul. And you see that he preached a lot, but he was not ashamed. He was not embarrassed to tell his story. He told it many times. He said that this is what happened to me. And so it's important that we don't feel embarrassed about telling what happened to you. So, how do you tell your story? Well, really it's up to you, but a few hints. Firstly, what is exciting to you? What is it that stirs you? What are the important things for you? If it gets you emotional when you think about this, it will probably connect with people. That's a good story. A good story is one that gets your emotions. A good story should have a beginning, a middle, and an end. So Suzette's story had a beginning. This is how I was brought up. This is what happened. I was in a Christian home. I went away from God. And that's a good start to a story. And then the middle, a good middle is what happened that brought me to God. And a good end bit is, this is how my life is now and what God has done for me. Simple. So as well as the story of being saved, we all have lots of stories, yeah? Stories of answered prayer, stories of provision, stories of guidance, many, many stories in our life. And when God intervenes and does something in your life, that's a good story to tell. That will help people. Yeah? So, really, that's what I want to say. What I want to say to all of us is that God says to us, you will be my witnesses, which means that you can tell your story. You just need to say what you've experienced with God, what you've seen and what you've heard, what God has done for you. You don't need to have a degree in theology. You don't need to have all the right doctrine. You just need to be able to say, this is my experience. Can you do that?
Yes.
Good. And so, if you are a follower of God, you have a story. What is your story? I want to encourage you to write it down and think, like Suzette, she didn't write it down to do a book, but to say, if I were to tell my story, what would I say? Think how you'd say it in 1 minute. Because sometimes you only have 1 minute. My story is that I grew up really loving science. I studied science at school. I studied at university. And my science, particularly I love biology, when I looked at the natural world, I believed that there was a God. I always believed that because I didn't think it could exist without God. One day, somebody, when I was at university, said about what it meant to be a Christian, and he talked about following God. Now, I thought I was a Christian because I believed in God, but I never knew that there was a need to follow God, and I knew that I'd never taken any decision in my life I'd consider God. And I was challenged that I needed to follow God, and I didn't want to because I had my life planned, but I knew that it wasn't the sin for me, the wrong thing in my life was just one thing. I wasn't following God. That was it. There was no other sin really that really convicted me. And eventually I prayed a prayer where I said, I'm going to follow God. I had it in a little booklet. I prayed that prayer. But the amazing thing for me was the next day when I woke up, God was in the room. The presence of God was with me. And that's what my story is, that I know the presence of God. Has it been easy all the time? But I've known the presence of God. So that's my start, middle, and end. What is your story? I don't know how long that was. It's probably longer than a minute. But sometimes you have very little time, but you can tell your story. So in in groups this week, I encourage you, if you're not in a group, to get part of a group. They're still on Zoom, but you can be part of a group. I'm saying to some groups, any groups that'd love to, is think about your story. Work together to write it down so you are ready to tell your story. Yep? Well, so if you're not a follower of Jesus, whether you're here and you've not yet become a Christian, or if you're online and you just plugged in and you're not a follower of Jesus yet, you still have a story. You still do have a story. And I believe that you're here or you're online, you're looking. It's not a coincidence that God is in this. God wants to be part of your story of your life. In fact, I'd say that God wants not to be much part of your story, but he wants you to be part of his story. That he's got a chapter to write that is so exciting and so meaningful and purposeful. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to the earth to be in our lives, in our story. He didn't stay in heaven and send an angel. God wants to be in our story. And if you want that, if you haven't asked God to be part of your story, to be part of your life, you haven't decided to follow him, you can do so today. You just need to say, I want to be part of your story. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me for going my own way without you. I now want to follow you. Jesus came for that, to make that possible. So you can ask him into your life. I want to pray, because like a good story, every preach has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And this is the end. Father, I thank you that we have a story with you. Father, we may have ordinary stories, we may have spectacular stories, but they are all powerful stories because you came into our lives and touched us. I want to pray, Father, that we just, like Suzette did, she just think back to our story and be grateful and thankful and excited of what you've done. But I pray that you help us to be ready to tell our story, to, as you say, be witnesses and give our testimony to those that need to hear it. And guide us, Father, to the person that needs to hear our story, my story, that we can see, we can point people to you, that you should be saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we finish the meeting, I just want to say, we sang, I think it was the first song, that God is Saviour, God is Healer. Something that God's impressed me about, that I want to pray for healing. You might be here and you need healing. You might be online and you need healing. I think last time I preached, I prayed for it as well. But, you know, I want to say that if you want healing, we'll pray for you now. I'm going to pray, but I'll pray for you after the meeting. If you've been praying for many times, I'll pray for you again. I'll pray for you every week. But I really do believe that God is a healer. He is a healer. And many of our testimonies, if we were to hear them all, would be about God miraculously coming in and healing. So I want to pray. I really want to pray again for those that perhaps you've had some an illness for a long time. It hasn't shifted. So if you want to reach out to God for healing right now, then just you know, reach out to God in your heart, or you can put your hand up, or put your hand on the part that needs healing, here or online, and let's reach out to God together and pray together for others. Father, we want to stand together as your people, as your body, and say in Jesus' name, heal those that are reaching out to you for healing right now. Father, I pray for long-term illnesses, that we'd see something shift today, Father. See a change, complete healing or start, Father. I thank you for praying just recently about high pressure and that reducing, Father. I thank you, Father, that you move, that you heal. I pray that you continue to heal those you start, and you start a healing in many bodies of those that are here and those that are listening. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Am I handing back to you or finishing? Okay, back to you, Tony.